behold your throne of grace. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you open our hearts and our minds, that we may understand your word. And I, Lord, pray in the name of Jesus that may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, glorify the name of my Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please do take your seats. You know that when you are preaching every Sunday, it just becomes that it's a game, is Sunday. And when you have done it for decades, one need to be in the will of God. They need to spend the time with the Lord in prayer, thinking, meditating. From Monday to Sunday morning, I have always one prayer, that Lord, something new, something fresh from the passages I have preached so often and your people have heard so often. Something new, something fresh. I wonder, when you come to church, what do you pray? What do you pray when you come to church? Or what do you come expecting? What is your expectation when you come to the church? Do you come that even from ordinary words that the Lord will speak to you? Lord will touch your heart. Lord will open your eyes to see the glory of your Savior. Or what? But having said that, let me now turn to our New Testament, the Gospel passage, because from that is the passage from where I have got something to share with you. And I hope that within this little talk, there will be something new, something fresh, especially keeping this hymn we sang last, that Jesus is Lord. Creation, the world screams for it that he is the Lord. But let's begin with this Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It was actually his final journey to Jerusalem. Jesus was on the way to die for the sin of humanity. He crossed Galilee, and before he entered in absolute Samaria, on that border region, that as we read in our story, that he was just to enter a village, when suddenly he had to stop because there were these 10 men who shouted out, "Master, Jesus, have mercy upon us." And as we read, these were 10 lepers. And the society, the law, the rituals demanded that they are outside of the community. You can call them, they were the outcast of the society. They did not feel even worthy to come closer to Jesus, but from distance they shouted, "Have mercy upon us." Jesus was not worried about any pollution. It was them who did not feel worthy to come close to Christ. Jesus commanded them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Perhaps you be wondering that why they needed to go to show to their priests. Well, priests were the one that who had the authority to certify that they were clean and offer certain sacrifices. As they were on the way, as we read in the story, they all got healed. But one from those 10, he felt the need to return back to Jesus rather than to go to any of his priests. He came, he praised the Lord, he fell at the feet of Christ and was close to Jesus. Let's just sum it up. 10 men shouted out for help. 10 men were sent. 10 men were healed, but one returned. 10 noticed that all the disease is gone, but only one returned to praise. What happened to the others? Because they should have been the people that they should have left everything and returned back to where Christ was. Not just to be thankful for their healing, but there was something great demonstration taking place right in their own eyes. Two things happened. One is that the Jewish historian Josephus, in his writings, he writes that the exclusion of the lepers were such that they were regarded as dead. They were counted dead. And the second thing, the Jewish belief was that one of the signs that the person is the Messiah would be that he will cleanse the lepers. All were cleansed. Whole nation, not only them, but the Samaritans also, they did wait for the coming of the Messiah. The sign was there, the Messiah is here. But only one returned. You know that, as I said to you, that keeping this hymn in the mind, if you look in the Old Testament and you see that how the creation, how the rituals, how the ceremonies screamed out that one man is going to be the Messiah whom we know as Christ Jesus. And especially at the cleansing of the lepers, there was a ceremony which spoke aloud that what Messiah was going to do and how the real cleansing was going to take place. I guess that if not all, most of us, we are familiar with the terminology scapegoat. Are we familiar? I guess that number of us, we probably know that the terminology comes from the Bible. Do we know that it is from the Bible? It is Leviticus chapter 16, where the priest was to take two lambs, two goats. One was to be sacrificed as an offering for the sin, and the other goat was to carry away the sins of the people into the wilderness. And do you see why John the Baptist said, when he saw Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world." So scapegoat was the one to carry the sins. But that is Leviticus 16. But do you know that there is actually a scapegoat as well? Not scapegoat, but there is a scapegoat as well. Surprised? It is Leviticus chapter 14, where the ceremony of cleansing of the leper takes place. And it is absolutely a photocopy of the scapegoat. When a leper, Leviticus 14, if you would like to see sometime in your own time, that like to those goats, at the time of cleansing of the leper, two birds were to be taken. One to be slaughtered, that slaughtered bird's blood to be sprinkled upon the leper who has been declared clean. And the other bird was to be dipped in that blood, and from there he was to be set free to go away. The Bible doesn't say so, but does it not look like the scapegoat who carried away the sins, and here was the scape bird taking away the burden, the uncleanliness of the one that who was unclean. And all these are representation of the Son of God, the Messiah, who was to be sacrifice for the sins of God's people, who was to carry away the guilt and the shame. Messiah was there before them. He proved that he was the Messiah, but only one returned. You know that it is quite fairly common among the biblical interpreters that they compare the physical leprosy with the sin. So as the leper is outcast, so is sin, which keeps away us from God. Jesus offered himself to be the sacrifice for the sins of all the people. One thing, when the leper was cleansed, the sacrifice I have mentioned, another thing happened, then leper was anointed with the oil. And those who see the physical leprosy in the spiritual sense, the sin, the sinfulness of humanity, they also believe that like a leper was anointed with oil, the moment we turn to Christ and we are cleansed from our sin, we receive certain anointing from God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The moment actually our baptism services, all they present that once you are accepted in, that you have certain anointing of the Holy Spirit. But these people, they take many different levels of the anointing. There were especially four type of people in the Old Testament who were anointed. There were the lepers when they were cleansed, and they call it a primary or preliminary anointing. Then there were priests who were anointed. Occasionally, the prophets were anointed as well. And then there were the kings who were anointed too. And those who look in these terms, they see the leper's anointing as the first step on the ladder of growing spiritually in Christ. And king's anointing, obviously, that is on the top end. All those who are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, like those 10 lepers, they are healed. But Jesus asked, where are the rest? Only one returned. I, as your parish priest, believe that all of us who have confessed our sins to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, we have got that basic or the primary anointing of the Holy Spirit. But how many of us has got a greater anointing? Jesus said, where are the other? Where are the other? Only one returned. It is only one who returned to whom Jesus said that your faith has made you well, and listen, go. Jesus was sending him. You know, that desire of the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, is this: that all those who believe and trust in him, that they don't stay on that primary stage, but to grow into maturity and actually do the things he did. Do you know that God, Christ, wants to do, you and me, all what he did? That is what the Bible says. He actually said, you will do even greater things. He wants us to do those things, but if we remain on the first ladder or just stay happy with the primary anointing, the anointing of the leper, who he is going to use for greater things? God is calling each one of us. He is saying, where are you? Why aren't you returning? You received that cleansing of the sin. I want to do mighty things through you. Come to me. I want to do it through you. It is my humble prayer and hope that as today we come to the altar, that perhaps we can ask the Lord that, Lord, I want a greater anointing. I want greater things to be doing in your name. Maybe some of us say that, well, Nabo, I'm already old. I don't know how many you remember. In the beginning of my time here, I used to say that any church who has got a lot of elderly people, they are actually sitting on the gold mine. How? Because there you have got a power that who can pray and move the mountains. Even if you're old, God wants to use you for greater purposes. Even if you are young and like me, even mature in age, but still remain young in learning, God wants to use us as well. Come to him. Say to him, Lord, I want greater anointing from you. I want to do the things you did. May God give us the grace to open our hearts to the riches of his grace. Amen.